Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Todd Tomasello with Safeguard Your Soul Radio. And Brother Travis Bryan III's on the line. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, Todd. Good to be back with you, my friend.
Amen. Before we get into this wonderful message on the cross to encourage Christ's saints in this essential component, the central component of the Christian faith, I want to mention, saints, that in October, the weekend of the 20th through the 22nd is going to be another cross conference in the beautiful mountains of Buena Vista, Colorado, at an absolutely fabulous facility. It's a chalet and limited space. Would love to have you guys. Please look on safeguardyoursoul.com /cross-conference/ for more details. Would love you to pray about that and consider joining us. Brother Travis, the last one was really a blessing.
Well, I enjoyed it very much, Todd, and look forward to the next one.
Amen. And saints, it's a somewhat of a relaxed schedule, so that it's full of the word. Brother Travis is going to be teaching, I think it's 3 sessions on the cross. And so it gives you and your family the opportunity to check out the area and enjoy it. Amen. Brother Travis, we got a message here today on the cross. I believe this is part 1. Message of the cross, part 1. The basics, back to the basics. Saints, speaking of back to the basics, not only should we go back to the cross, recently I've been sharing and encouraging, exhorting in a gracious way, I hope, the body of Christ to get back to the King James Bible. If we want to discern how that which calls itself the church has gotten in such a lukewarm state, that's going to be at the central foundation of it, I believe, that among other things. And so I wanted to encourage you to get back to the King James Bible if you haven't already. Amen. Brother, number one, you talked about the Apostle Paul and how he personified sin and also death in this message today, and how sin leads to death. And then you wrote how sin is a supernatural demonic spirit that was injected into mankind through Adam in the Garden of Eden, obviously at the fall. Sin is an unholy spirit that can lord it over, reign over, and deceive people. Boy, that makes me think of Romans 7, Brother Travis, which you have cited here.
Yep. And, you know, Todd, it's so important to teach the meaning of sin, because if you don't realize how powerful sin is and it lives under your skin, you will never realize your need for the cross, because the cross is the only solution for the sin nature, for the flesh. It cannot be defeated any other way. This is a paramount reason for this continual discussion you and I have about the working of the cross in the heart of the believer. That is the only way the believer can uproot sin in their life and get it out and break off sin's power over them, is by the death of Christ. Dying and rising with Christ is the only answer to sin, Todd. And I didn't know that for 40 years. I wandered in the wilderness from age 12, when I professed faith in Christ and received him as my Savior, until I was 52 years old. I was living the Christian life by law and having a very unsuccessful time doing it. And a brother pulled me aside and gave me a book and told me some things. And for the last, it's been since 18 years, I have been researching and studying this wonderful principle of the cross that defeats sin in the life of the believer, Todd.
Amen. And you know, it's the only thing that's ever worked for me, too, brother. It's
really?
The only thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a rare message to be heard, and yet it's all over the Bible, saints. And it's often mentioned the co-death with Christ. Now, that's not referring to us redeeming ourselves, but it's straight out of Scripture, Romans 6:4, buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And then the next verse, verse 5, speaks of being planted together in the likeness of his death. Paul speaks in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. And this is the... Go ahead, bro.
I like to talk about this example that Paul gives in Romans 11, where we are cut away from the wild olive tree and grafted into the cultivated olive tree. This is a picture of our severance from Adam, which is the wild olive tree. Adam is the head of the body of sin, a corporate body of sin. And we are, by the cross, severed from that tree and brought over and grafted into a new tree, the Christ tree. So we're now headed up by Christ, Jesus Christ, and we are part of his body. And the cross is what accomplishes that transfer. It's the severing, and it's also the Y-shaped incision that is used in grafting, made in the Christ tree so that we can be grafted in. But once we're grafted in, we still have properties of the old tree. We have the old bark. We have various elements in us that remain of the old tree. And so these have to be purged. So there has to be an ongoing cross in the life of the believer to sift away, to purge, to prune away this fleshly nature of ours and give us victory over it. So there is a change of position, Todd, from the wild olive tree into the cultivated tree. But then there has to be an inward transformation, which is a daily experience of the cross, Todd.
Amen. Got a lot of people, a lot of men around me these days, brother, that are being stripped. And one of the most encouraging things that's been brought out on one of the previous programs, at least one of them, is how even Job had to be stripped times. And this is proof that we need, more proof that we need to be stripped, is that we wonder, why me? Well, it's exactly what this first point is making. Saints, we're of the fallen nature. Some people have theology, I think they got from Charles Finney, which is completely fraudulent, and it claims that we have no sin nature. And not only is that just absurd, it goes against all the experience that we have in life, but it's not biblical at all. And Romans tells us that. Romans 5:12, brother, you had that reference. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I wonder how, where we need to get to in our minds to somehow think that sin had no effect on the human being. That's just absolutely ridiculous. Okay, verse 18, Romans 5. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came on upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And the cross is the only solution, Brother Travis, to this sinful man that must be crucified. Amen.
Amen, brother. The obedience of one. Now that was an obedience of faith there, Todd. That's where our main obedience is, that we faith through the cross experience. This is our part, to faith it through these storms, these Job-like experiences, these baptisms, which means overwhelmed with adversity. And, of course, all adversity comes from the adversary. And so God allows, and we've been studying this redemptive withdrawal, God allows the enemy to come against you as he did with Job. And we are called to faith through this experience, which sifts us, purges us, prunes us, and takes the influence of our sin nature and nullifies it over our lives. And so this is the only way to sanctification, Todd. This is not law. This is not contrary to what Finney said and Calvin and what I tried to do for 40 years. This is not a human effort to keep rules. Now, I'm not against rules, Todd, but they're all kept when the believer comes out with this love that the Spirit pours out in your heart as you go through the cross. You die and rise with Christ. You're filled with the Spirit. This gives you a spontaneous ability and as a byproduct of that death, burial, and resurrection to keep the rules. And the rules, I'm not against the rules, but the how it's done is what's mistakenly taught, Todd.
Amen, brother. You know, John Wesley wrote this. He said, "One of the greatest evidences of God's love to those that love him is to send them afflictions with grace to bear them."
Exactly.
To send them to send them afflictions with grace to bear them. Somewhere in our lives, and this goes for so many that are listening right now, and especially the men I mentioned earlier, where they're going through fire and just don't understand in the midst of it how this could have all happened. I tend to believe that somewhere in your past, you cried out to the Lord to have his way in your life, no matter what it took, because you love him. And this is part of the answer. But Brother Travis, when we are brought through to the other side, and by the way, he said you're not going to drown in the water or be burned by the fire through the process, it's going to be such a blessing and a cleansing of things on the inside of us that would not otherwise be cleansed if we didn't have the blessed opportunity. 1 Peter 5:10 gives us a little bit of a glimpse where it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after," not before, but "after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Amen. I think it's four or five things there. PSSS, perfect, that means mature. Establish, that's an S, King James. Establish or establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. It's a natural acronym of PSSS, and it's almost like a hidden secret that's not really spoken about, but God wants to call us aside.
What verse is that, Todd?
That's 1 Peter 5:10, and it's like,
yes,
God is saying, "Come here, son, I got something good for you." You know, when we bear fruit, abiding in Christ, he says that he's going to purge us even more so that even more fruit, increase of fruit, can be produced there in John 15. And it's interesting to note that in this order, these terms appear: fruit, more fruit, and then much fruit. It seems like he's expressing again the 30, 60, 90, 100-fold bearing. So when we're being purged, it's proof that we're children of God, because whom the Lord chastens, loves, he chastens, etc. And there's going to be more fruit born. Amen. And that's his, one of his purposes in this, is that more fruit, kind of like a farmer, he wants to continue to increase the fruit of the land that's being produced. Even so, the Lord is going to increase the fruit bearing in our lives, coming out of relationship, brother. And that's where we ended there with what you were saying. This is not about rules as much as it is about relationship. And
exactly.
Amen. He also wrote how man cannot overcome sin or self by human effort. Brother Travis, a lot of messages out there about trying harder, huh? Turning over new
leaves.
Yeah, we don't even need the Bible for that. We can go to the, all these magazines to get that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Exactly.
The key is not trying harder. Perhaps it's dying harder or dying deeper.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, sir.
And,
you know, sadly, you know, I give these talks to a lot of different groups, Todd, and here's something I notice in the understanding of people that come. And they are people that have read the Bible and have been to church and Sunday school and Bible class. But 80% of them see sin as an act or omission, a transgression, an offense, a violation. They do not understand sin as a nature. They have no idea of that truth, Todd. And if you don't understand that sin is a nature that is under your skin, that is operating, that it is a factory that turns out sinful transgressions, products, you can't, through human effort, stop the products from coming out of a nature. You have to defeat that nature before the products will stop and replace it with a new nature, a new man. And then that nature will crank out fruit, legitimate fruit. I mean, real fruit. And
Amen.
Then more and more fruit as you grow in grace. So
yes,
the cross shuts down the old factory, Todd, and installs a new factory that,
I like that,
you know, manifests the image of Christ, Todd.
Amen, brother. So profoundly true. In Galatians 5, Paul says, when he speaks of the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh, he says the flesh lusteth or works against the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's a war going on inside of us, and the only way to settle it for victory in Christ is that it be crucified. Amen. Paul,
amen, brother.
Romans 7, and you know, there's been the age-old argument of whether or not this was before or after Paul was saved as a young mm-hmm. believer. I think I argued that it was before he was saved. I didn't understand a whole lot, though. And Paul says right here in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, not that I was, but that I am, mm-hmm. present tense, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And, brother, that's the realization. That's what happens when we come to the realization of the iniquities, which is different from a transgression. If you look up the Hebrew words for those, an iniquity is an inward bent, which goes alongside of mm-hmm. exactly what you're saying about that evil factory that came and was imparted into men when Adam and Eve fell. Cross mm-hmm. is the only solution to. Jesus conquered sin on the cross. Then he told us to do the same thing in our co-death with him. We, a lot of times in evangelical Christianity, we like to point only to Christ's death on the cross when he said, it is finished. and then act like we have no personal responsibility from there on, which is not true at all, saints. And that was his part. Now, our part is to be crucified with Christ. Jesus said if you're going to follow him, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him daily. Now, notice in verse 18, Romans 7, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, and but how to perform that which is good, I find not. There it is again. Not for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelled no good thing in the past. It's still a present tense old man, as Paul puts it in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. That's got to be put off, Brother Travis, and the only putting off is to be crucified with Christ, right?
Absolutely. It's the Bible speaks of it as a garment that we have to be stripped of this old sin nature garment, the fleshly garment, and then put on the garment, the robe of righteousness of Christ. And that's more than just an imputation. That's an actual imparting into you of the life of God through Christ's resurrection life. And with
Amen.
This life of God, we now have a new factory, Todd, a brand new factory we've never had before. When we get saved, we have the life of God in us. And that life is a nature, a divine nature. And we begin, as it says in 2 Peter 1:4, to participate or to partake of the divine nature. And we put on the new man, Todd, the new man.
Amen. And that new factory produces new fruit, saints, and they're all the contrast is spelled out in Galatians 5:19-24, where he actually lists 17 sins of the flesh, 17 variety, ugly variety of the flesh. One of them is evil concupiscence. Wow, what does that mean? Well, it simply means secret desire for that which is forbidden. Wow, we call it fantasies today, but God calls it evil concupiscence, and God wants to purge and clean us out to the core of our being. That really goes to the heart of this, brother, because we all know there has to be a deep cleansing in order for the Lord to get rid of the evil concupiscence or secret desires for that which he forbids. And this daily walk is required in the cross. Jeremiah puts it this way. He asked the question rhetorically, who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And saints, the Lord would ask us today, are we engaged in a relationship, a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ today, as opposed to, like you're saying, Brother Travis, this mentality that we see pervasive in the human nature and even among evangelical believers? I know you encounter a lot of that, as you begin to say earlier. And you say, brother, to get out of that?
Well, people are just infatuated with the law as a way to please God and be accepted by God. And sadly, that's the only way they know, because the cross is not taught. Now, I am confronted many times by people in these classes that, well, you're lawless. You're teaching lawlessness. No, I'm not. I agree. And Paul says it. Anything he says, I agree with. That
yes.
In Romans 7:12, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. And that's absolutely true, that the law is good. Just like a red cape in the hands of a matador is clean, beautiful, pure, and sparkling. But when you
yes.
hold that red cape, that good red cape up, in front of a bull, that bull will charge. And that's our sin nature, Todd. When we're confronted with the law, we are the motions of sin, as it says in Romans 7:5, are stirred by that. The law arouses our sinful passions. Just like when you tell a child not to do something, it arouses a desire in that child to go do what he was just told not to do. And that is the effect. When the law meets our flesh, bad things happen, Todd. That's the problem with it right there.
Yes. Amen. Holiness comes by way of the cross, not by way of the flesh. Just as sin was conquered by the cross of Christ, so sin in the life of the saint is conquered by the daily cross. Amen. It's time to stop trying harder and to simply die deeper with Christ. That's the answer, saints. And perhaps the frustration we're having of not overcoming sin is because we're not doing it God's way, the prescription being the cross of Christ, first, foremost, and pervasively from A to Z, and also Christ who told us that we have to learn, we need to learn this cross to put off the old man, put on the new man, and to deny self, take up the cross, and follow him. But Travis, we need God's help to do that through relationship, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. And when we're in Christ, we through the death of Christ, Todd, in Romans 6, we come into a union with Christ. We have our co-death with Christ, our co-burial, and our co-resurrection. This brings us into a, we'll call it a mutual interpenetration. Christ is in us, and we are in him. We are joined to him, grafted into him, become part of him, and he becomes part of us. And it's through that relationship, that connectedness, that organic union is what some of the old theologians call it, a living union, that we live out the Christian life. But that can only happen and can only continue through the experience of the cross, Todd. The cross recalibrates us. It reboots us. It does, though, that an acronym that you just mentioned, beginning with establish, and brings us into this fellowship with Christ. And we fellowship with him continually in his sufferings. And we experience the power of his resurrection, Todd. That's Philippians 3:10, another great book on the cross.
Yes. Yeah, remember he asked his disciple, one of them, are you able to drink the cup?
Exactly.
That goes into a much deeper message than we probably have time for, being that we got about 2 minutes left. Now, you also wrote, brother, how after initial baptism, the person must take up the cross and die daily. This is the same as what Romans 12 means when Paul wrote to present our bodies a living sacrifice. To present yourself as a living sacrifice means to walk out into the world and in faith present your body to the inevitable Job-like experiences that the devil will bring your way, as he did with Job. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is the key to transformation. And saints, want to point you to Romans 6, which has been quoted and pointed to today several times, to be enmeshed in, to be engrossed in the truth of Romans 6. Nothing's going to happen good till we face this cross and fall upon the mercy of God, crying out to him to really take over our lives in full surrender. God bless you, saints. Thanks for listening. Brother Travis, absolutely fabulous message.
Thank
brother.
You, brother, for helping me put this out there. Thank you, brother.
Amen. May it go exponentially across the world to the saints of Christ. God bless you, saints. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye, Brother Travis.
Bye.